And Linda, you and I were talking just before the break about how you've noticed that many people, maybe friends of yours, are gravitating toward the traditional Latin Mass and departing from the Novus Ordo Mass. And for those listening, Novus Ordo, that's just a Latin phrase. It means the new order of the Mass. And that would be the new order of the Mass as promulgated by the Catholic Church the Latin Rite of the Catholic Church since the Second Vatican Council, which ended in 1965. So one of your questions to me, Linda, was, what do you make of the people who are saying that the traditional Mass is superior to the Novus Ordo Mass? And what were some of the other related questions that you would ask me?
So specifically, superior as a gift of worship to God. And then the other question had to do with there being more graces poured out for the celebrant and for the people participating in the Mass. So on our path to heaven, that it would be a better place to go because we would receive more grace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to keep those thoughts in my mind as I proceed. As I was saying before the break, as a kid, I was an altar boy at a parish in Southern California. It was the Mission San Juan Capistrano, and I went to school there. And the pastor had an indult from the Pope to continue celebrating the sacraments according to the traditional rite after the church had mandated that everybody would use the Novus Ordo. So I was in a very interesting situation where I was serving the Latin Mass for years, and at the same time, I would be at my regular parish on Sundays where they celebrated a kind of happy, clappy guitar mass with felt banners and all that. So I grew up with both realities simultaneously.
Mm.
For whatever that may mean to other people, for me, it was helpful to understand the Mass as such and see it in both of those forms. So personally, and this is my own personal preference, I love the traditional Latin Mass, and I got a great deal out of it. And whenever I can, I go to the Mass. Now, the reason I'm saying that to you is so you know where I'm coming from in my answer. I believe that it is true that the traditional Latin Mass is aesthetically superior. Now, aesthetics, you know, that's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and not everybody agrees on what is aesthetically pleasing. But for me, in my house, or at least for me, I find the traditional Latin Mass more aesthetically beautiful. It's more, it speaks to my soul in a way that the Novus Ordo Mass very often does not. But that's a subjective quality, and we have to realize that when it comes to something like aesthetics, that in itself is not a decisive factor. Even if the majority of people found something to be beautiful, it wouldn't mean that somebody couldn't say, well, I don't find that beautiful. But there is another way of looking at this, and that is that the objective data or the expressions of the faith, the precision and the fullness of the theological things that are imparted in the Mass, both the traditional Mass and the new Mass, I think we could say that the traditional Mass does a better job of that. And the prayers are more precise in some instances. Now, this is especially true before the revision of the English liturgical books, which goes back now, what, 6, 7, 8 years, maybe longer than that. But it was when Pope Benedict XVI approved of a change in the translation of the sacramentary that we use at Mass, and it was a dramatic improvement over the clunky version that we had before that. So all of that being the case, I think it's also correct to say that in terms of precision and quality of the prayers and the expression of the theological truths in the traditional Mass, that there's more of that. So if we can say that it's objectively better, I don't think that's far-fetched to say that. But now we come to the question of the efficacy of the Mass. And this is where I would differ with those who are telling you that you get more grace out of the Mass. And it's for this reason, that the way Mass is celebrated is accidental, to use the term philosophically. it's accidental to the Mass. It's not intrinsic to the Mass itself. So those aesthetic aspects of the Mass, they are good and beautiful, but they are not essential to the Mass itself. So the essentials of the Mass we can see at the Last Supper. There was no incense. There were no vestments. There were no statues. There was no ringing of bells. None of the things that we associate with the beauty of the traditional Latin Mass took place at the first Mass. And yet, the first Mass, celebrated by Jesus Christ himself, is completely perfect in its efficacy for those who were disposed to receive grace. Judas was not disposed to receive grace. The others who were there were. So I would argue, not only on that basis, but I would argue from that starting point that the Mass is the Mass is the Mass. Now, people can be moved to be more receptive to God's grace if the external beauty of the Mass is present. I grant that. We can have our minds and hearts ordered toward God more effectively, more profoundly, let's say at the traditional Latin Mass, in which case you would be more, you would be better disposed to receive more grace. This is true. I don't argue that point. But I wouldn't say it's correct to say that the Mass itself, in itself, that it is more or less than another Mass. The Mass is the Mass is the Mass. And it doesn't depend upon, for the purposes of its own efficacy, its own spiritual fruitfulness, it doesn't depend upon the smells and the bells. The smells and the bells may be there, they may not be there. But the same eternal once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross is being presented. And in itself, that is perfect and sufficient. So a little theological approach to that last question. What do you think about that, Linda?
That is extremely helpful to understand the difference between what's accidental and what is intrinsic to the efficacy. And one of my concerns is, I see this, you know, being in online participation with different things across the country and and even locally, is that there's poor understanding. And so it is so much division between, like, I'm one of these and you're one of those. And that really makes me sad, because the Holy Spirit does not create division amongst, you know, where there's truth. And I wish for this, like, your explanation to be further spread, because I think that what you said about people, we're all different, we're called differently to be disposed, best disposed to participating in the Mass. And I know where we live, we have a very large Hispanic population, and I think we'd lose a lot of them if we, you know, decided that we had to move toward just a Tridentine liturgy. Anyway, so I just like to, I say thank you for your explanation, and I will, this will help me in conversation. And I don't know if I'm drawn to it or not drawn to it, but I'm very sensitive to this division factor of that, that seems to seed judgment, you know, toward people of attending one or the other, and also with many practices associated with attending one or the other. And anyway,
that's a good point.
I don't know if, if you've seen that as well, but, you know, we're all poor in spirit. And sometimes I think we're trying to recreate the Tower of Babel.
You know, that's actually a very important point. Let me offer a thought on that, Linda. One of the unfortunate, and I would assume, hope, an unintended side effect of the rise of the Novus Ordo Mass is that we have become, even within the average parish where there is no traditional Latin Mass, you've got the Spanish Mass and the Filipino Mass and then the English Mass and then maybe other different languages. We've become parishes within parishes within parishes where people who go to St. Miscellaneous Parish, many of them never ever see each other. They never fellowship with each other because they go to the Spanish Mass. So the people who go to the Spanish Mass never see the people who go to the English Masses, and vice versa. And one of the benefits of the Mass of the Ages, the traditional Latin Mass, was that it had a uniting effect insofar as it was a single common language everywhere in the world where the traditional Latin Mass was celebrated. And regardless of where you were from or what language you spoke or what color your skin was, you would be there with everybody else. And everybody would be praising God in that language. That was one of the benefits. It was, you know, one of many benefits of the traditional Latin Mass. And we've lost that. So oddly enough, in a counterintuitive way, I think, Linda, that in spite of whatever the good intentions may have been by the well-intentioned bishops at the Second Vatican Council, an unintended side effect is division that has set in as a result of the Mass being celebrated now in the vernacular. I can see reasons why people would say, well, I like it in the vernacular. Okay. But at the same time, we've lost something. We've lost a kind of cohesion and unity, even just a physical kind of unity, being together under one roof, worshiping God in the same language, regardless of where you're from. And losing that, I think, has hurt the church. So that's one of those consequences of the Mass that I regret. I wish that we didn't have this kind of tribalism and division. I'll leave you with that thought. Any final word on your part?
Yeah. My final question would be, you know, I'm in my 40s and I didn't grow up in, you know, with any type of Latin at Mass, but would you say that more people understood Latin? Because I feel a little bit lost. Mm-hmm. With the language.
Many people didn't understand it. They would, but they knew the prayers by heart. I'll give you an example. My lovely wife, Nancy, at our parish, we attend a parish in Columbus, Ohio. Novus Ordo Mass is celebrated, but celebrated very reverently by the Dominican friars. And much of it, in fact, I would say almost all the parts of the Mass are in Latin. Not every Sunday, but very often, all the parts of the Mass are in Latin, meaning the Our Father and the Agnus Dei and, you know, the Sanctus. And Nancy can recite every single one of those prayers from memory without even looking at a book, and she recites them with good Latin pronunciation. But she's never studied Latin, so she wouldn't necessarily know what does this particular phrase mean. But she knows that she's praying the Our Father. She knows the Our Father in English, obviously. So I think that she would be an example of the kind of people who were at Mass every Sunday or every day prior to the Second Vatican Council, who may not have studied Latin and who may not have known precisely what the meaning of these words were, but they knew the essence of them. And not to mention they had the missal or the missalette. So they could see on one page the English while they were looking at the Latin on the other page. So it wasn't, people were not mystified or left out in the cold. It wasn't as though people just simply couldn't understand. Most everybody could understand it to some degree. So I don't see any reason why we couldn't regain
prevalent
that if we wanted to.
Right. If it were more prevalent, we might regain it.
Yeah. Well, Pope Benedict XVI tried to make it more prevalent. He tried really hard with his motu proprio, Summorum Pontificum. You may have heard of that. And that's where he said that the Mass priests everywhere are permitted to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. And he said that, you know, the bishops cannot constrain the Mass and say to people that you can't have this Mass. And he urged the priests and the bishops to make the Latin Mass as generously available as possible. And, you know, I'll just say this. A certain number of priests and bishops just ignored it. And it, you know, as if it never really happened. Many of them, thankfully, accepted it and they welcomed it, even in some cases. But that was an effort on the part of the Pope himself to try to make this much more widely available so that people could experience it. I think all Catholics should experience the traditional Latin Mass. Even if they decide they prefer the Novus Ordo, they should at least be aware of the patrimony of the Church that all those great saints were raised up on. So, well, thank you, Linda. This has been a fascinating topic. I'm glad that you stuck with me, and I wish you well. And thank you for your call.